Psalmist says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it." Then on another occasion he says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And I hope that you're as glad to be here today as I am. You know, you think of all the people that we know that are not able to get out and go to church, and you're able to get out and go, and we're so glad that you're here. We just pray that you're blessed. For those that might be listening later on the webcast, we welcome all of you into the presence of the Lord. And know that as we gather in His name, the name of Jesus, He's here with us. Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you today, we thank you for this day. We thank you for every blessing that you've given us. Father, we thank you now that as we come into your presence, you meet us here. You're welcome. May the Spirit of the living God have His way in everything that's sung, everything that's prayed, everything that's done, everything that's preached. Lord, may we have spiritual ears to hear the message from you, not particularly my message, but your message. And Father, may we be challenged to live in ways that be pleasing to you. Lord, you know the needs of each person that's listening and each person that's gathered in this sanctuary. Lord, out of your greatness and your mercy, we thank you for meeting those needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. We're going to take our hymnals and talk about Jesus. Just as the pastor just spoke about, there's something about that name on 177 or Wesley's going to have it for us up here, or Jeff, or whoever's up there. Yeah, Wesley and Michael is up there too. Awesome. They're going to have it up here for us. And I told him, I said, this is so beautiful, we're going to sing it through twice. So we're going to repeat. And it's 177, or either you can look on. So stand with me. There's something about that name.
Thank you.
Brother Leonard's taking a little trip, so he falls upon me to do the announcements and the prayer. Just remind you, we are doing Wednesday night Bible studies now at 6:30, and you're welcome to be a part of that. A couple more weeks for the Samaritan purse boxes, and so there's some more here, and then if you take all of these, then there's some more down in the fellowship hall that you could get. I was told one thing about where the labels went, and somebody else told me something else, so I'll check that out and try to clarify in the newsletter this week about really where you stick the labels. And if we've done it wrong, then we'll fix them. But thank you for your giving for the Samaritan First boxes. Other announcements that we need to make. Okay. Leonard also, through the modern technology, sent me the prayer list. If I can find them. Oh, well. You know, if I knew what I was doing, I'd be dangerous with this phone. Here we go. Okay. I had it all ready, and then when I set it down, it just went away. Oh, well, folks. Here they go. The Doris Mandy family. He said she was aunt of Lionel and Donna. Stacy Talley, recovering from surgery. Matt Hamilton, Todd and Gary's son, kidney stone.
And he is doing much better. The second urologist we've seen does not feel like that is a stone. He thinks it's just a calcification next to the wall of that kidney. So he's very confident that we're not dealing with a stone.
Okay.
And so Matt is feeling much better.
Well, good.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. Keith Henson said still in the hospital, not doing well. Pastor Joe Smith, and I'll mention him again later. George Louder, who's Ruth's brother. Bryson Martin, any updates on him that you'd like to share? Okay, Pat Burgess. Of course, Jeff Keplinger, he's preparing for bypass surgery Thursday. And so we want to be praying for Jeff and be praying for Lori. Because you know, when your spouse is having surgery, it's not quite as tough on you as it is on them, but it just seems like it. And Jeff's mom, who's undergoing cancer treatment in Alabama. Okay. All right. And Sheila Bolton, still in the hospital and very ill.
She got a little update on her. They actually put her into a medical induced coma to try to give her body some time to rest. They do have her on a ventilator and can only be in this coma for about 2 weeks. So pray very, very hard.
Okay. All right. Anyone else that we need to add to the prayer list? Wayne Williams.
He's a friend of Robert's. He's battling prostate cancer, and he has about 6 weeks left. Is what
they, okay. Doesn't all right. Let's pray for him. All right. Anyone else? Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning so grateful for the blessings of life. And one of those blessings, Father, is that you know us and all about us. You have that wonderful word that even if a little sparrow falls, you know it. You take recognition. That you know the number of hairs on our head. And so, Father, if you know even little minute details like that, each of these people that we've just mentioned is very special and very precious to you. And Father, you know where they're hurting. You know where their needs are. You know the family members that are concerned. And Father, you know the people and situations that are on our minds and hearts that we didn't mention. And Father, I know that most of us have situations down within our minds that we just don't feel free to share. But Lord, you know. And so Father, I pray today your blessing upon each one. I pray you take away pain, you bring healing. Father, I pray for family members that sit by the bedside or and pray and hold hands and sometimes cry. May they know the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. And Father, for these that are like in a coma, like Kathy just mentioned, I know that deep down within their spirit, the Holy Spirit can still give peace and comfort and encouragement. And I pray that you'll do that. Father, I thank you that Cynthia could be here today after so many months of going through various surgeries and difficulties to come to the point of healing. Thank you for that answered prayer. Lord, for those that ordinarily would be here but could not come today, I pray that you'll be with them. Minister to them and their needs. And Lord, we sure do love you. And thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Let's stand together and do our praise song. It was one of my favorites. And I don't know if Leonard's already pulled this one out, but God is so good. Page 23, and Wesley's going to have it up on our screens for us as well. We're going to sing all four verses, a little short song, short and very sweet. God is so good. Stand with me.
I love him so. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me pretty well? This literally is probably one of the very first songs that I ever learned. You'll recognize it when I sing it, and if you would like to join me, you may. I'm going to do it a cappella today because that's how I've been singing it in the car, and I can't find an arrangement that I like, so I'm just going to sing it like I sing it in the car. So I hope you guys will enjoy it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He who died heaven's gates to open wide, He will wash away my sin. Let His little children in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From His shining throne on high comes to watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. If I love Him when I die, He will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Thank you, Kathy. That was beautiful. I bet it's interesting. You know, if you could get in the back seat with Kathy or with Tonda and just listen to them sing on back and forth to work, I bet it would be interesting and be uplifting and be blessed. Now, I sing, but it wouldn't be, you wouldn't be as blessed if you were in my back seat listening to me sing. And I think it's interesting, all three songs that were picked out today had to do with Jesus and what a blessing Jesus is to us. In a few moments, we're going to look at scripture about Jesus. But first, I want us to go back to the Lord in prayer. As you know, I mentioned a moment ago, Reverend Joe Smith, who's Pastor Emmanuel and also the chaplain for the hospital here in Albemarle. And Joe's been very sick, on a ventilator with COVID and pneumonia. And we had a note to please pray for Brother Joe today. And the idea being that if every church in the area prays for him for just a few moments, that adds up to thousands of prayers going up for Brother Joe. And also, as you remember, last week I mentioned that Franklin Graham had asked that today be a day of prayer and fasting for our nation. Because we are in for some turbulent times. You can just tell if you just watch the nasty stuff that's in some of the ads for political campaigns. You can just tell, and what we've seen with riots and burnings and lootings and everything. We need to be praying for revival in our nation. And let me suggest something to you that's been suggested. It's not original with me. But if you have a copy of the Message paraphrase of the Bible, go home and get it out and read Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And let God speak to your heart about our need for revival, because so much of that actually has to do with our need for revival, troublesome times, dark times, but yet the possibility of God bringing revival. So let's pray for a few moments for our nation and also for Brother Joe. Father, as we come to you once again in prayer, we lift up our brother Joe Smith. We know he's a blessing to hundreds and thousands of people. How many bedsides has he stopped and offered a moment of prayer? How many words of comfort he's offered to those who are in the hospital, those facing surgery, and those that are dealing with a death. And so, Father, we lift up our brother to you today. We don't come on the basis of his good deeds or our merit. We come on the basis of the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior. We come on the basis of the promises that Jesus gave us to ask, seek, knock, and find. And so we lift up our brother to you today, and I pray, Father, that there in that hospital room, he might be encouraged. I pray that his body might quickly begin to respond to healing. I pray that he will soon be set free to resume the ministry that you've given him. I pray for family members, Father, that have been so anxious for these last several weeks. May they be encouraged and comforted by the Holy Spirit. Father, we come and just pray for our brother and his family. We pray for his church. Father, we know his church must be in quite turmoil because of their beloved pastor's illness. And Father, we pray for Emmanuel Church that they might be aware of your presence even today. And Father, we thank you for the answers that you're going to give. And Father, we come now to pray for our nation. We may look in our own hearts and not feel very guilty of doing anything wrong. We haven't rioted. We haven't looted. But Father, we know that like Isaiah and Daniel and so many, Nehemiah, Ezra, others, because we're part of this nation, we bear part of the guilt. So, Father, we come and we repent. We ask for forgiveness for any part that we've had in this nation becoming the mess that it is. And, Father, I pray for your intervention. I pray for peace. Father, I pray for you to change men's hearts. Father, you know I have my preferences as to who is elected. But Father, I know it's not who's in the White House or the governor's office or Congress or the legislature. But it's changed hearts. Where men and women and boys and girls love one another, forgive one another, seek peace and harmony with each other, seek to understand, seek to work together. And so, Father, I pray that you'll begin that work of reconciliation. I pray, Father, that the millions that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will have an encounter with Jesus even as dramatic as Paul on the road to Damascus. And they who are going in one direction will be turned around and headed from hell and now be going to heaven. And Father, I pray for cold, apathetic, backslidden church members all across this nation that they too might have an encounter with God and they might return to their first love, Jesus. Lord, I pray for the churches of this nation. Father, I believe that many of them are like that church in Revelation. You're knocking on the door. You're outside. You're wanting in your church. Yes. And Father, I pray that in thousands of churches across this nation, somebody will have the nerve to go to the door and say, come in, Jesus. We want you in our church once again. Yes. And Lord, we know that when you show up, you're going to make a difference. Father, we thank you for what you've done in America in all of these hundreds of years. We thank you for the lives that you've touched around the world because Americans have given and gone. We thank you for the men and women that have sacrificed their lives on the battlefield that we might have the freedoms that we have. Father, may their sacrifices not be in vain. Oh God, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May the fires be rekindled. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I pray that you will spend time praying for both things during this day. And if the Lord leads you to and you're physically able to do a little fasting. Now, everybody's different. You may just fast not eating pie for lunch. You may fast the whole meal. You may fast by turning the TV off and not watching football this afternoon. Whatever the Lord leads you to do. But our nation needs your prayers. Now, 3+ years ago, when I came here as interim pastor, I thought I'd be here 3 or 4 or 5, maybe 6 months, and I'd be on to some other church, and somebody else would be standing in this pulpit. Didn't quite work out that way, did it? But because I didn't think I'd be here long, I preached maybe 10, 12 sermons called, and I sort of titled it, The Characteristics of the New Testament Church. I feel impressed to go back to that same subject. Now, I'm not going to the filing cabinet and pull those old sermons out and shake the dust off. So if Wes could give you a CD from 3 years ago and a CD from today or the next couple of weeks, they won't match. Because I think the Lord has something new and fresh to say to us. But it's important, really, really important, that we understand what the Bible says about church life. Folks, it doesn't really matter what the Baptist way is, or the Methodist way, or the Pentecostal way. What's the Bible way? What does God say about His church? How does God want His church to be run? How does God see what we need to believe and what we need to be practicing? As we look at this, you know, think about things. Are there things we're missing? Are there things that we could be doing better? And are there things that we're right on track? And this morning, and probably the next at least one or two more Sunday mornings, I just want to talk about Jesus. I want us to talk about the ministry of Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to write about Jesus. And some of the stories and some of the events and some of the teachings are the same all the way through. And some of them, you know, Matthew would say something and the others wouldn't cover it, but then the others throw it in. And then, you know, in John, at the end of the Gospel of John, he says, well, if we wrote and told everything that Jesus said and did, the world could not contain all the books. So we're going to look at some of the things about Jesus. Now, I realize that there are unbelievers, skeptics, who say these stories are all just made up. They didn't happen. They're not true. But the skeptics are wrong. And one of the ways you can know that they're wrong is because of the honesty of the way the stories are written. You ever thought about how honest those stories are? And how because they're honest, they're a blessing to us? Now, you know I like to write. So we're going to read the stories, two or three of the stories, as they are in the scripture, and then I'm going to rewrite them. As if I was a politician, I'd be rewriting them. And make myself look good. Make the disciples look good. And I think you'll understand what I'm getting at. Now, the first one is in Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep, talking about Jesus. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marvel, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, look how up forward and frank they are. Jesus said, let's get in the boat. We're going to cross the Sea of Galilee. He goes and falls asleep. A storm like they've never seen before comes up. And these guys, some of them, like Peter, James, and John, are experienced sailors. They've dealt with storms on the Sea of Galilee before, but they are doing their very best and not making any headway. Now, you know, I read that very calmly,
Lord, save us, we perish. It was more like this. Help, we're drowning. We're going to die. It's probably more like that. I mean, these guys were scared. They'd never been in any storm like that. You see how human the story is. But let's rewrite it. Jesus said, let's go across the Sea of Galilee. We got on the boat. Worst storm in history came up. And we were doing our best. We were rowing hard. And suddenly Jesus wakes up and calms the storm. Now you see how that sounds? It makes the disciples sound very heroic. We had it under control. Oh, we were glad that Jesus woke up and calmed the storm, but we had it under control. And not say anything about, help, we're drowning. And not even mention Jesus saying, where's your faith, guys? And he wouldn't have asked them where their faith was if he hadn't already given them faith. If they shouldn't have been acting and living in faith, he wouldn't have brought it up. So he knew they should have had faith to deal with it, but they didn't. And so he says, if you want to look good, don't tell where you messed up. Don't talk about your lack of faith. But now, why is it important to you and me that they tell it this way? Because the devil is going to bring storms into your life and my life. And we need to realize that sometimes when we think we're about to drown, we're not the first ones. Whether it's finances or sickness or family troubles or national deal, whatever it is, when we're in great difficulty, we need to understand we're not the first. We won't be the last. And we need to realize sometimes our faith gets weak as well. And when our faith gets weak, we need to know that we've got Jesus in the boat, that we can call on him. It's an encouragement to me to realize I'm just as normal as they were. And the same Jesus that delivered them can deliver me. You remember another story. It's in Matthew 17. Matthew 17. And beginning at verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and into the water. I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You see, Jesus, if you remember the context, Jesus and Peter, James, and John had been on the Mount of Transfiguration. And while they were gone, this man brings his son, who was having like epileptic seizures as a result of demonic possession, to the disciples. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that the disciples in times past had cast demons out. So it's not a new experience for them, but for some reason, they can't handle this particular situation. And they can't handle it. And then Jesus and Peter, James, and John come up, and the dad comes front of them and said, These guys tried, but they couldn't do it. Can you help me? And of course, Jesus delivered them, delivered the young man. And the disciples come to Jesus and said, what's the problem? Again, Jesus said, it's your lack of faith and you need prayer and fasting. You need to develop your faith by spending time with the Heavenly Father. Now, again, if you wanted to rewrite that and make yourself look good, Matthew could have said, this dad brought his demon-possessed son to us and we were dealing with it. And while we were dealing with it, Jesus showed up and took over. And he delivered the guy and just left out all this business about our unbelief and everything. You know, Matthew could have rewritten that. Remember, Matthew is one of the disciples. He could have rewritten that and made himself and the other disciples look good. But again, it's important to you and me to look at that and realize sometimes we do everything that we know to do and it still doesn't seem to be working. Sometimes there are things that we've done in the past that don't seem to work right now. And we need to realize we've got Jesus in our lives and that there are times we need to just say, no, wait a minute. I'm not handling this. Lord, you show me why I'm not handling it like I should. Lord, I'm not prevailing in this situation like I need to and want to. I'm not able to minister to other people and help other people like I want to. Lord, you show me how. Lord, you fill me with your presence that I might minister to others like I should be doing. It's an encouragement that they wrote it the way they did because we see their humanness. And we see our humanness, and because we know our humanness, and we see how Jesus helped them, we know that he can help us. Let's look at one more, John 3, one of the most familiar passages in Scripture. John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, you know, John could have stopped right there and maybe added a comment, something about, boy, we knew we'd arrived. When you were in the big leagues now, because these religious leaders, these big shots, were coming to Jesus and talking about how Jesus was a man from God and how Jesus was doing miracles from God. And we knew that whenever these folks were coming to compliment Jesus, we were pretty soon going to be on the A-list to all the parties. And if John had stopped there, we would have missed the most important truth of all. The most important truth of all. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If John had quit just by noting how Jesus was being honored by the presence of Nicodemus, we would have missed the fact that the way to heaven is to be born again. It's not a catechism class. It's not a membership in a church. It's not good deeds. It's not our birth, whether we're red, yellow, black, or white, whether we're male or female, whether we're Jew or Gentile. It's not our financial standing. It's not being a member of a certain denomination. It's not words spoken over us by some religious leader. It's a new birth. Not long ago, I was listening to a CD of a Bible teacher, and said when he first, years and years ago, began to feel the call of God to teach and get into ministry, he went to an older pastor and said, how do you learn to hear from God? And so this older pastor said, are you a member of our denomination? And this new pastor said, no. He said, forget it. God doesn't speak to anybody else but us. You know? It's the new birth. It's a new birth. It's a birth from above. And of course we know, he goes on in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We would have missed the most important truth of all, that if we're going to heaven, we're going to heaven through a birth from above, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have an experience where the Holy Spirit lets us know Jesus is the Savior. He's the Son of God. He died for our sins. He rose again. He's coming again. And we're going to believe it in our heart, and we're going to confess it with our mouth. And that leads to salvation. Amen. You see, you can tell that these truths are so important, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John could have all just left out the humanness, the way they messed up. But they didn't. And see, that speaks to your heart and my heart, because we're just as human as can be. We all need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. We all need the strength to know that when the storms of life comes that the devil throws our way, that we've got Jesus in the boat with us. We all need to know that when life is puzzling and we don't seem to know the way out and the answers, Jesus can explain and give those answers and show us the way. Be glad for Jesus. Be glad that these men saw fit to tell us how Jesus dealt with people like you and me. Amen. Same kind of problems, same kind of fears, same kind of questions, same type of mess ups. But over and over and over again, the presence of Jesus made the difference. And many of you in your own life, if I gave you opportunity, could stand and start testifying this instant, that instant. Didn't think I'd ever make it through that. Thought I was going to die. Got a letter today from probably Friday, from a couple that are on their way back to Japan as missionaries. And the lady mentioned in the letter something that I'd forgotten. In 2007, now how long ago is that? 13 years. She was diagnosed with cancer and said she was going to die. Well, she's still living. Done 2 or 3 tours of mission work in Japan. She and her husband came back a year or so ago so she could have some valve surgery for her heart, and he could have a knee replacement. And as soon as COVID makes it possible, they're on the way back to Japan. You know, didn't look like they were going to make it. Looked like their boat was sinking. But Jesus in the boat made all the difference. I encourage you, walk close to Jesus. walk close to Jesus. And when you walk close to Jesus, no matter what storms are in your life, He's going to be with you. Fathers, we bow before you. I pray first, if there's anybody that's in this sanctuary or anybody listening to the webcast that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, that today the Holy Spirit will bring them under conviction, that He will lead them to say yes, to believe in their heart and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, that they might make the transition from death to life, from hell to heaven, that they might become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray for each one of us, those here and those listening, that we learn to walk close to you, knowing that sometimes storms are going to come, sometimes baffling and bewildering situations, but that when Jesus walks with us, it makes all the difference. Father, you remind me of what someone who only glimpsed of Jesus in the future said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, if David could pray that without knowing about Jesus as we know about Jesus, surely we can be thankful for the presence of Jesus in our lives. Now, Father, I pray your blessing upon this people. Be merciful, be gracious, and give them your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.